What does a French horn sound like in your head? Maybe something like this. All right, but what if you changed how it sounds, say, with a distortion pedal like the cool rock guitar guys do? Pretty cool. That last sound is from a collection of recordings called Air Names. It was made by our next guest with the help of the Electroacoustic Research Space at UW-Madison's School of Music, also called EARS. It's a studio that lets musicians experiment with acoustic instruments, say a French horn or a flute, and electronic instruments like synthesizers and processors to come up with really different kinds of sounds and music. Dan Graboy is an assistant professor of horn and the director of UW-Madison's Electroacoustic Research Space. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Paint us, please, a picture of this lab.
This lab is a former classroom that has been repurposed. So it's in the humanities building, but it doesn't have the aura of the humanities building. It's updated a little bit, and it is chock full of electronic instruments.
What was the inspiration for you to have not just these electronic instruments, but this interface between traditional acoustic instruments and all this electronic gear?
Well, for me, that started when I got to UW. I had before been the chair of contemporary performance at the Manhattan School of Music, and I hired a colleague to come and teach electronic music to my students, and they were making incredible sounds, and I thought, wow, I could change the sound of the horn and play a much bigger variety of music. So when I got here, I was provided with some research funds, and I started buying pedals and microphones and that sort of thing. And I made the Air Names recording that you just played a little bit of, which was mostly featuring the horn in various kinds of distortion and with effects on it. From there, everything derived out of an email that I received one summer, and it said, we are offering a round of UW 2020 large equipment grants. And the idea behind this grant was really, hey, chemistry department needs an electron microscope, and so does biochemistry. So let's provide one electron microscope and have them share. And I thought, well, I could put together a ton of pieces of electronic music equipment and call that large equipment. And so I put in an application. I got everything I asked for. So thank you, Worf.
Now let's check out another clip, another taste of the music. This is from your latest project, released coming out in October, I think, called Fire Names. I think I'm hearing a fairly unprocessed French horn out front there. What's going on behind it, though?
So this really is electroacoustic music. The French horn's completely unprocessed, except that it's being recorded, obviously, so there's some amount of mixing going on. But yes, so what I did is I wrote a tape track. Of course, there's no tape involved anymore. Everything is digitally recorded. But I used the instruments in EARS to create this 44-minute long tape track, and then I wrote a horn part to go on top of it. And so when I was recording the horn part, which I did in my basement with EARS microphones, I didn't have to distort the horn at all. I wanted it to be very pure, and I played over that tape track.
Now, I'm kind of a music nerd. As I looked at the list of your electronic equipment, it includes things like old Moog synthesizers, a theremin, I think, and then some things I've never heard of, including a Continuum fingerboard.
Yeah, that's actually if I had to choose a favorite child, it would be the Continuum fingerboard. It's an instrument that's been in production for something like 15 or 20 years, but it changes every few years and is updated. It was invented by someone named Lippold Hocken, who teaches engineering at the University of Illinois. And the reason it's called a continuum is it has a keyboard, but the keyboard is made of squishy foam with the notes more painted on the foam than actual separate notes. So you can drag your finger along the keyboard and make it go continuously, hence continuum fingerboard. And it's a very expressive instrument.
So that makes me like a fretless bass, where usually you'd have distinct notes there, but without the frets, you can move up and down. Same thing. I never would have thought it possible for a keyboard.
Yeah, it's an incredible invention. And it responds also in several other directions. So that side-to-side or X-axis is operating with the instrument, but there's also a Y axis. So the keyboard has a certain thickness, and it's a synthesizer. So for some of the sounds, as you move your finger further away from you or more towards you, the sound will transform. And then the Z axis, how hard you push down, generally controls how loud or soft you play, but it can be programmed to control anything you want.
Talking to Dan Graboy from UW-Madison, director of the Electroacoustic Research Space. We're checking out some of their music, and I want to give a listen to, I think you're featuring your favorite kid, as you said, the Continuum Fingerboard, in this excerpt from Fire Names. Here's a listen. I think I'm hearing what is the Continuum Fingerboard with those where you can,
That bass line is Continuum Fingerboard, but the thing that goes is also Continuum Fingerboard with a different sound. This is all recorded multi-tracked, so you record one thing and then you put something else on top and you have infinite tracks that you can use.
Okay, one more taste of that, I think. A later part here in Fire Names. Tell us a little more about what we're hearing there.
Right. So everything you heard there is Continuum, and it's a big, big, juicy, fat sound on the bottom. And then on top, this sort of Asian-sounding instrument, which is really interesting. It uses that Z axis, how hard you push against it. The harder you push against it, the more it goes boing and bends up. So if you just tap it, it goes ding, 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 ding. And as you push harder, boing, boing, boing. So it makes a really kind of an interesting ornamented sound.
Okay, so this is in effect a music laboratory. What kind of things do music students get in and experiment, play with in there?
So I have a band that's a student ensemble. It's actually a class. And the band is called $2 Broom. And if anybody gets the reference, they win the prize for the day. We improvise using the instruments. So students learn how to play the instruments, which is usually pretty easy. Most of the instruments have a very tactile interface. And in fact, for, say, a cellist or a violinist that has become very, very engrossed in their technique on their instrument, putting their hands in front of the theremin and moving them around and see what happens is a really revelatory experience. It's no longer about just how you make that vibrato with your left hand and how you draw the bow, but just pure experimentation. So we go on stage with this band at the end of each semester and play for about an hour with nothing written down and nothing planned.
Okay, but suppose somebody comes there with a cello or a French horn or whatever. They've devoted their life to this instrument in a lot of ways, and they're playing through some of these processors and synthesizers and things like that. What is their reaction? Is it, this is cool, or wait, this isn't what my instrument is supposed to sound like?
Usually their reaction is something that I can't even quote on the radio.
They're generally in a bad way.
In a good way.
Okay.
They're usually so excited about what their instrument will sound like. And we do that. For instance, we had a cellist play on our last concert, and he did some cello playing as well as playing other of the ears instruments. And he was running through effects. And what's so interesting is that you find that your playing changes based on what you're hearing, which is not that surprising, but it really draws that idea into focus, especially as you think of each musician as kind of a composer when you're improvising. So the ideas that are generated are inspired by the sound that's coming into your ears.
Briefly, as we wrap up, live gigs for $2 Broom or any other projects coming out where we could see this in action?
Yes, but you'll have to stay tuned because we set our concerts kind of in the middle of the semester. We figure out a time when everyone's free and when we'll be ready, but they may be billed as the Electroacoustic Improv Ensemble or $2 Broom. I'm not sure how our
like any band.
What's the real name?
Yeah.
The real name, as far as I'm concerned, is $2 Broom.
Dan, thanks so much for sharing this with us today.
Thank you very much.
That's Dan Graboy, assistant professor of horn and director of the Electroacoustic Research Space at UW-Madison, with us today to talk about his work at EARS and to share some of the experimental music he's made there.